Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts and minds of your people as we study your word, Lord. And may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be always acceptable in your sight. O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Well, as I said at the beginning of the service, we're into the season of Epiphany. It's the season that really is sort of marked by the symbol of the light. Light in darkness. This taken from John's words when he begins to talk about Jesus, and he says that Jesus was the light of the world. It's the season where we really begin to try to reflect on how do we as the church make sure the how do we begin to let the light of Jesus shine out into the world so that people will know who Jesus is, hear his message. So that's what we're focusing on. So it's a little strange because having said that, we start with the baptism of Jesus in this reading, the gospel reading for this Sunday. That's where we begin, is with Jesus' baptism. And so that's what I want to ask, you know, what kind of begin to think about is why do we begin the season of Epiphany with the baptism of Jesus? What's its significance for us? John is in the desert. John is this prophet. He is out telling people they need to get their life right before God. I don't know about you. Maybe you've come to the beginning of the year and you've already recognized that you're just not in a good place. You know, you've been really filling yourself up with, you know, thinking thoughts and actions, and you're really preoccupied with making yourself comfortable. How much is in your bank account? How are you going to make more money in 2011? You know, your own comfort. Or maybe you're really preoccupied with issues of security, making sure you're safe. I mean, we're on the hills of this incredible disaster, act of injustice in Arizona, where innocent people are gunned down in a public place by some fanatical 22-year-old who, you know, decides that he's going to take justice into his own hands. And so maybe you are realize that your life is sort of surrounded with issues of how do you protect yourself, and so you can relate to this crowd that sort of comes and hears John, and John is sort of just giving it to these people, and he's saying, look, your lives aren't lining up with God's purpose. There's a way to live that's in obedience to God, and you guys are way off from it. You're in a very different place. And you need to radically change how you're living life if you're going to live God. Because God doesn't want us just to fill our lives up with worried about being safe or worried about filling our checkbooks up with money and having lots of things for us. There's a whole different priority that God has intended. And so maybe you can relate to them sort of kind of being caught up short and recognizing that they really need to make some radical changes. And that's what John is saying. You people need to make radical changes. You're not walking in obedience to God. And so much so, he's talking to a group of Jewish people, and yet he says some pretty radical things to them. To these Jewish people, he says, look, I know that you think that baptism, you know, where you take a person and you immerse them in water for a spiritual cleansing is an outward sign that they need to radically change their lives. It's for people who are Gentiles who want to become Jewish. That's the way they understood that rite, that ritual of baptism, was that it was for people that weren't naturalized Jewish people, but they wanted to be. They would have to undergo this humiliation of being cleansed in water as part of their preparation for becoming Jewish. But John says, look, you guys are in such a bad place, you need radical change. So what I want you to do is I want you to go through that same ritual cleansing that you require Gentiles to go through. Total insult to a Jewish person to tell them that they need to be naturalized into being a Jewish person. It'd be as insulting, maybe more, it'd probably be more insulting, but I could stand up here and go, you know, you guys are the worst group of American citizens I've ever met. I mean, you are lousy at it. You are so bad at being Americans. You know what? I'm going to require that all of you go through the naturalization process. If you want to get right and really be good citizens of the USA, you guys all need to take the naturalization training. You need to find out. You need to read you need to memorize the Constitution. You need to relearn the Bill of Rights. You need to study the Founding Fathers. Actually, this isn't bad advice. You guys really probably should do that. You don't know how to be an American. But if you take the class and do all the preparation and pass the test, we'll swear you in as U.S. citizens. That's how radical it was, maybe more so. That's what John's saying to them. He's saying, you have totally missed it. That's what this word righteousness means, to line up our lives in obedience to God's way. What's God's priority? How does God want us to live our lives? And how far off they must have been that here's John saying, look, radical change is necessary. Go through the naturalization process. Be baptized. That's what they understood baptism to be. Now, you have to get that to understand then what happens next, which is that here comes Jesus. Now, John, we don't know exactly how much John understands about Jesus. At one point in John's writings about Jesus, he says, "Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." So clearly, John understands that Jesus is super special and that there is something unique about him and holy and godlike about him. At least he knows that much. And yet, here comes Jesus, and Jesus says, hey, you know this radical naturalization process that you've been calling Jews to go back through? You've been beating on them, telling them how far off the mark they are? I want you to initiate me in that same rite. I want you to do the same thing for me that you're asking all these Jewish people to humble themselves and admit that they are off the mark and go through. I want you to do that for me. That's why John is like, look, are you kidding me? Jesus, you should be requiring this of me. I shouldn't be requiring this of you. I'm talking about miserable, sorry people over here that I've been caught talking to all day. Not you, Jesus. Why would you need this? But Jesus says, no, to fulfill all righteousness, to fulfill all obedience to God, I want to be identified with my people. I want to do this same act, the same ritual that you're requiring of those. That's how radical it was. And that's what Jesus was trying to say in his baptism. I want to identify with broken humans. Disobedient humans. Humans who've missed the mark. Who have known some sense of what God might be requiring of them. But that's not the way they've lined their lives up. He says, and just as John is saying, as the prophet John is saying, that the people need to make a radical change. He says, I want to identify with those people. My friend David Lacanina, who just now moved to California. David, when he first moved to Florida, he couldn't believe it. He was amazed. He was mesmerized by Southern football. He couldn't get over it. He just was like, I can't believe how radical and fanatical you guys are about your football here. And the biggest thing he got a kick out of was how we would instead, when we talked about our football teams, instead of saying our team did well or our team's doing poorly, we would say, we stink, We're no good, or we played awesome, And he was like, what are you talking about? You didn't play. Why do you keep talking about, you're like, as if you were on the team, as if you had anything to do with how well your football team played. But we so want to identify ourselves, don't we? We want to associate ourselves with our team so much so that we do that. We talk as if we're a part of the team. I looked up in the dictionary this word identify, and there are lots of different definitions, but the fourth definition is the one I'm really getting at. It says that to identify is to associate in name, feeling, interest, and action with someone or something. It's investment. It's wanting to become. It's wanting to affiliate by name, by feeling, by interest, and by action. That's what Jesus was doing. He was identifying with humans. And yes, we are broken. We are in need of change. We are, as the church word we use, sinful. We are we've missed the mark. But get the part that Jesus went through baptism to identify with us. Why do we start with the baptism of Jesus and Epiphany? Because people need to hear that Jesus message, that Jesus wants to identify with people, no matter how messed up our lives are. That's the message of Jesus that needs to hear. We, and our family, we really stress the farmers. We're farmers. We're a team and stuff. And occasionally we offer an honorary membership to certain people who exemplify qualities that bring them into the family. And in our case, we really didn't have much choice because Julia was determined to become a farmer no matter what. And but Julia over here, Julia Eskew, we hang out with Julia. She spends a lot of time in our house, and we love her to death. But I love it. Julia, so she wants to be part of our family, though she loves her own family. She wants to be part of our family. So she started referring to herself as Julia Eskew hyphen farmer. You know, to be identified, to want to somehow have a place with us, to be that in action. And so for her, that idea of sort of hyphening her name was a way of showing action. So see, I talk about my kids in the sermon, so you're right in there with by getting included. But that's a message that we need to share all year, but especially in Epiphany, about Christ's love, his wanting to identify, to be closely associated in name and in action with broken, messed up people. He's not come to judge them. He's come to be with them, to identify with them. He did this radical act that we really have a hard time understanding, because it's so radical to our minds, but it's like a naturalization process, but it recognizes his wanting to be in fidelity with us, to stand with us and identify. We need to share that message during Epiphany. Now, Jesus's baptism is something very different. When I was a young Christian, I couldn't get that straight. I kept thinking that somehow that John was baptizing people the way Jesus commands us to baptize people, but it's not. The baptism of John is the recognition of the need. It's repent. It's you need to change. You need help. You know, you're in a bad way. But it sort of leaves you in that place of you need to recognize you're in a bad way, but there's no solution. But at least you can get dunked in water and show some action that you want to change, right? That's what the baptism of John was about. But the baptism of Jesus is not about the need, but about the fulfillment. The baptism of Jesus is a recognition that it is, in fact, Jesus who came to be with us, to be identified with us, who comes to make a difference in our lives. That he can bring forgiveness. That he can bring a new start. That he can free us from the things that bind us and that hold us down. And that the addictions that control us, whatever they underlies, all the things that hold us back. Peter had a hard time. You look at the Acts chapter 10 that is in your second lesson. Peter had a hard time understanding that. As a matter of fact, all Jewish people did at the time. They thought somehow that in order to, even with knowing Jesus, that somehow if you wanted to be right before God, you had to become Jewish and accept Jesus. So they wanted Gentile people to be circumcised and to go through all the kosher laws and to do all those things. And so it takes this radical vision from God that Peter gets in chapter 10. And we don't have all of that, but we do have a piece of what happens after that. Because what happens is that immediately God sends Peter to meet this Gentile, this non-Jewish person, whom he has revealed himself to. And Peter is sent there not to try to make Cornelius become a Jew, but to let him know that all people can be accepted by God, that Jesus' forgiveness, that his willingness to do something about the messiness of our lives is for everybody. That's why the line there from Acts chapter 10 is so important. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. It's for everyone. We have got to get this message of Jesus out. He's come to identify with messed up, broken people, and that his love and his forgiveness is for everyone. For everyone. No matter where they are, or what they're involved in, or how far away they may feel from God. John talks about earlier, before the part of the verses that I read as the gospel this morning, he talks about that he's there for a baptism of repentance, of recognition of the need, but that the one coming after him, Jesus, will baptize with fire and the Holy Spirit. And those two words are important. The fire recognizes the purification. If you want to cleanse something of impurities, one of the ways you do that is you put it into fire. And, you know, lots of things, whether it be precious metals or whether it be other things, you purify them through the fire. And it's this idea that the baptism of Jesus is recognition that God in Christ forgives us and cleanses us from impurities. And then the baptism by the Holy Spirit, that's the recognition that not only does God cleanse us from the things we've done wrong, but that he puts his Spirit in us, that we become new creations in him, and that God's own life begins to germinate and take residency in us. We become a little colony of God inside our body, and God begins to take over in the sense of cleansing and giving us new purpose and new power and new outlook on what it is we're to do, that we're to be people who proclaim the greatness of God, a God that's so great that he created the world out of love, and that even though the world rebelled against him, sent himself and the person of his son, Jesus, to take on flesh, to identify with us, and to come, and then to die on the cross, to create a way for us to be in forgiveness and in peace and in new relationship with him. And that's what we got to get out. That's the message of Epiphany. The message of Jesus. He came to identify with messy people. He comes to make a difference in their lives. And he's for all people. All people. Well, how do we do this? Well, you know, that's this trick, isn't it? How do we do this? Well, I would suggest, first of all, just look at the life of Jesus. What did he do? He went through this action of baptism. He demonstrated in an action his love for them. Look for ways to act towards people in the love of Christ before you speak the love of Christ. Earn the right to be heard. Earn the right to be heard. Whoever in your life doesn't know God through Jesus right now is not in your life by accident. It's not a question of, am I supposed to bear light to Christ? It's how. But please, don't open your mouth too quick, okay? Begin to love them. Look for ways to love in action. Bear witness to Christ and what he's done in your life by how you treat people, by your willingness to give of your time sacrificially or to act sacrificially in service to them. Do those things that will demonstrate just as powerfully as Jesus' willingness to be baptized demonstrated to that early audience his willingness to be with them because of his love for them. And then begin to pray. Look at Peter in Acts 10. He didn't randomly go to the first person he saw and shared about Jesus Christ, right? He waited, and he was actually in prayer when God began to give him a vision of this one Cornelius whom God had prepared for Peter to go to. Now, most of us will not pray, God, show me who you want me to share Jesus, because we're scared to death that he, in fact, would do that. But I got some bad news for you. Part of your baptismal vow is that you will share Jesus Christ. But it doesn't have to be as scary as you think. I mean, you can help in an Alpha course, set up tables and prepare a meal, work a book table, and you're facilitating people who don't know Jesus meeting him through Alpha. But pray that God would reveal to you who it is you're to share with and how you're to share. And don't ask the question, God, is this a person? Is this just somebody giving me coffee at Starbucks, or is this somebody that I need to think of a way to share you with? No, I can answer that question for you, okay? Yes, all right? Yes. But I don't mean you need to sit down with the Bible out and necessarily go through for an hour and a half what it means to be a Christian. But yes, you are to find ways to communicate this light, this good news, this message of Jesus. Of all times at Epiphany, let us be people who want to be about, preoccupied even with, finding ways to get the message of Jesus out. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, we ask it. Amen.